Well, we're continuing our teaching into understanding grace. And we're on the subject area concerning grace, dealing with the grace of God to serve Him, and serving grace, we called it. And we started that last week as looking a little bit into that. There's some other things that the Holy Spirit got us over into last week, but we're going to continue in this. Things are important concerning the grace of God, about serving God. And tonight we're going to go over and pick up again and looking, because serving grace, we're dealing with God's ability that works in us so we can serve God. We don't serve God with our ability. We serve with His ability. And so God, we found that He gives everybody ability to serve. We looked at the Apostle Paul last week. We read some scriptures. The Apostle Paul said concerning himself is, you know, really he was doing what he did as the apostleship by the grace of God. So it wasn't something he just decided to do. We, as we look at this, we find out that we don't choose or pick graces that we want to have to walk in. We don't decide, well, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And this is really important in life. I think really from a Christian perspective, Christianity's got away from this, over to this area, and people basically choose what life they want to live and what they want to do, but they don't realize the costs of those things. It brings to my remembrance the I remember a story that Kenneth Hagin had told one time about a woman who went to one of these churches. He had known her for numbers of years, I guess, while he was pastoring, and then when he was out in the field ministry, he said, very wonderful woman, said, very spiritual and stuff, but she came along, and I guess she was about 60 years old. She came down with cancer, and she came down to the point of dying. And Brother Hagin, he said he just really thought it was really strange for her, and he went to talk to her about this. He wasn't pastoring her at the time or anything, but he went to talk to her about this because of her dying, and she's, he said he was sort of shocked, because he said when he went to visit her, and she, he sort of wanted to talk to her about healing, and she said, don't bother talking about healing. She said, I'm going to die. I'm going to be leaving the world, this earth. She said, I'm not going to get healed. And he said he was sort of shocked at this. What's going on? She said, well, I've been disobedient to God. She said, from the time she was a young girl, she was saved in a church before she was even in her teens. She got saved. But she always knew that she was called to be a missionary. But she, as she got older, wanted to have a family, and she had all these things she wanted to do, but she knew she was called, always knew. And she said, I've been disobedient to God all these years. And she said, I know I'm not in position, she said, to receive Him. See, people need to understand there's things about the Word of God they need to understand. You can sit to believe something all you want, but your spirit, if you're disobedient, your spirit knows it. And you ain't going to push your spirit past a thing to believe. And she really realized, she said, I've been disobedient so long. And see, we don't understand it. People get over and get out of the will of God for so long, they can't get in faith anymore. Mm-hmm. And we don't teach that, because they teach, well, you can always turn things around. No. And she said, I realize, she said, I'm not going to be healed. She said, I've been disobedient to God all these years. She said, He called me to do it. She said, I knew it. She said, I just refused it and refused it. I wanted to have a family and kids. And she, which is really strange, like you couldn't be a missionary and have family and kids. But in her mind, she got thinking like that, but she didn't. And even though he said she was a wonderful person, as a woman in a church, was always, working in the church, doing really all kind of things. But he said, you don't always know about people, about what's going on. He said all these years she'd been disobedient. God had called her, and that's not what she wanted to do. She chose her life. But her life didn't last as long as the one God had for her. And see, people need to understand this by the grace of God. You want to follow. I've learned this, because you can sit down in the ministry sometimes. I know there's certain things that I've looked over the years of being in ministry that there's certain things you sacrifice concerning the ministry as you look at the standpoint. And I'm saying sacrifice from this standpoint of what everybody else is doing. And because you can't just go do it, everybody. A lot of people don't understand that about the ministry. They think you just, you live like everybody. You don't. You walk in a different place. There's things that you have to understand about ministry and in those areas. And but as anything that I ever looked at, you talk about from the standpoint, there's stuff that the Apostle Paul talked about, and we had read the one scripture about suffering for Christ. There's things that you suffer from the natural, from the flesh standpoint that people do that you can't. I'm not talking about sickness and disease. I'm talking about when everybody else can go do things and you can't. You just, you know, you have to, you know, you don't, like, you know, it's, you know, you could maybe get a denominational church, you might have a 40-hour week, but most of those people are walking like a god anyhow, so it don't matter. But you don't, your life's not yours anymore. Your life don't belong to you. And that's a very hard thing for people, because, and there's things that you sacrifice in that. That's one of the things that I always did with God concerning our family, my wife and kids. I told him I would do anything that he wanted, or go wherever he wanted me to go. But I expected him to take care of my wife and kids on things. That because of ministry, there is time, you just can't always be there. You can't always, you got to do things. And that's a hard thing in our culture, because our culture, everybody wants what they want, and they want it now. And I'm sorry to say, most Christians are like that. They don't understand that there are things and stuff that you have to do. But the one thing, the compensation of God is great. There's one thing, as I found out, about obedience. There's a lot of things God will do for you because of your obedience, that He will not do for others. He won't do for them. And I found it out. There's payoffs to it, you know. There's payoffs to things. And we need to understand the payoffs from God are greater than what you so-called sacrificed. The blessing will come. And, you know, we need to get into this idea, is we want to find what the perfect will of God is and get into it, because there is reward in that area that cannot be gotten just by your faith. You can't, you'll never have it. You'll never have it. You can try to believe God all you want. It's tied, you know, it's like the Lord said, if you aren't faithful with somebody else's, who's going to give you your own? See, there's one thing, as I learned early in Christianity, to be faithful with other people's stuff in the ministry, to be faithful to other missions. We went to church. I wasn't in the ministry, but I was faithful to those ministries. I was faithful to help. I was faithful to do things, because there's payoff to them. It's number one, you may never get into God's perfect will if you haven't been faithful with somebody else's. You may never get into perfectly what He wants you to do. See, because you're going to have to prove faithfulness. This is part of stepping in. This is part of getting into the things of the will of God. You know, it's like when I was in Bible school. Now, I had done teaching and preaching. In fact, I did a lot of teaching and preaching before I ever went to Bible school. Like people would always say, you know, Mel, basically you're in the ministry. But I wasn't in the ministry. You know, you're doing a lot of things sort of proving yourself, and you're helping somebody else in their ministry. That's what I was doing. You know, I was teaching and preaching, but it was for other people, for their ministry, to help them. And I was going to, in the spring of 1989, out of the clear blue, the Lord spoke to me one day. In fact, I was changing classes in Bible college here, and I was changing classes, and I was going to another class, and I was walking down through, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and this is one of those, is the voice of the Lord. I mean, it was just as clear. He spoke to me. I thought everybody's around me would have probably heard it. And but they didn't. But I'm walking down through changing classes, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord said to me, because you've been faithful with other people's ministry, when you leave here, I'm going to put you into your own ministry. He said, I'm going to set you to where I've called you to. So He said to me, well, in other words, I had never entered up until that time. He said, and He told me this, because you were faithful with other people's. See, lots of times the American gear is this, is everybody's trying to find their place by going after whatever they want. And they're not looking really as helping. You know, love's doing something for somebody else. And we live in a very selfish society. Paul wrote to Timothy about that was going to be in the last days. People ain't going to walk in love. Love ain't going to be the thing. It's going to be self-love. And that doesn't make it in God's kingdom. It's going over and look at somebody else, you know. It's one thing, you want other people to succeed. It isn't about me just succeeding. If I just succeed, I'm a failure. It's about others succeeding. Mm-hmm. Ministry is about other people's success. It ain't about yours. Because the gift God gives to you isn't for you, it's for others. That's who it's for. So you get that in your mind. Get that settled within yourself. You're not neglecting, you're not being neglected by God because you're doing His will. he'd be a terrible, terrible master if he didn't reward you for being good. I mean, doing his will. I mean, it'd be so stupid. So you don't have to ever get over into that kind of thinking. You know, we think, well, you know, if I don't look after me, number one, well, if you're number one, you're going to be hard to be around with. That's all I got to say. I got to look after number one. No, that's not my job. My job isn't to look after me. That's God's job. My job is to look after his will. That's what my job is. And so you get that thinking in your mind is, he will take care of me. He'll always do good by me. And you never think of the Apostle Paul, all that he went through, but the success of his ministry was phenomenal. I mean, we said today, the majority of the New Testament was written by him. The letters of the New Testament, they were written by him. Revelation. We're going to study that, right? The revelations that he had. Things that Paul said, you know, we just sit down and you look at that. All that he did, it was about other people. It was, and it's passed down the years, and we walk today in the things that he teaches. Still today. And thank God for the gift. Hallelujah. His gift blessed us. So, and that's what you want to do. You know, naturally, in the world, people want to leave a legacy. And most people, they don't leave a good one. You know, who cares about you leave a legacy, you had a big business, a lot of money and that stuff. If it really didn't bless and help people, and you're not known for what you did, like down the road, everybody's there, yeah, he built a good car, but he was a jerk. Do you ever think about Steve Jobs? I mean, Steve Jobs was fired from the company he built, Apple. He was fired from it because he got so belligerent to people. He didn't want anybody to have a vacation. He didn't want anybody to be off. He didn't want people to have breaks at work. He was just as miserable as the day was long. He did all that he did. And he said, I made a great phone, but he's a lousy person. Wow, what a legacy. It's like, okay. He died early rich. What a life. And other people got his money now. Yeah, his widow got his money. She's having a great time. He's gone. She don't have to listen to that miserable guy anymore. Things are looking up. And we got a legacy. I think I want to have better than that in life. We don't want to end with that one. You know, you don't want people to stay at your funeral and try to think of something nice to say about you. Said, wow, it's really nice since they left. Been neat if they'd have left earlier. I never did that at a funeral, but there's times you might think about it. But anyhow, hallelujah. So we're going to look here at something the Apostle Paul wrote. Now, there's a section of scripture in Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12th chapter is a very important area of the Bible here, speaking about God's gifting, his grace to people. Now, most of the time in reading and teaching in this, people start at verse 3 and read down through verse 8. But I want to start in the beginning because something the Apostle Paul said in the first two verses really had to do with what's going to be, what is said beyond. And I think it's important that we get that. And we look at the 12th chapter, verse 1 says, Paul wrote and said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Presenting your body to God. If we're going to walk in the grace of God, you got to present your body to God. You can't have your body doing everything at once because you ain't going to walk in the grace of God. That isn't going to happen. You'll never enter to walk in the grace of God. You've got to bring your body under control. Then he tells you, don't be conformed to this world. There's a world system, the world way of living, the world way of doing things. He said, don't be conformed to that. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He names three things here. He says the good will, or the acceptable will, or the perfect will. Which one do you want? See, the acceptable will of God is being born again. The average Christian gets born again, and that's the place they live the rest of their life. They never get into the good will of God. They never get into acceptable, or they never go into the perfect will of God. They'll live and die. and never get into God's perfect will. And the reason they don't renew their mind, they don't present their body to God and renew their mind. You got to renew. If you don't renew your mind, you are never getting in the perfect will of God. It'll never happen. Most Christians never get into the perfect will of God. Many ministers never get into the perfect will of God. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin about that. The Lord spoke to me about the one day about this, about Christians and the perfect will. A lot of Christians, the average Christian, don't ever get into the perfect will of God. The reason that we get too tied into the world system, the system, and we basically live by that. And what happens? We don't renew our minds to God's word. We have today when we need to be careful because, you know, we can renew our mind to certain things we like of the word, but there's certain things we don't like of the word because it talks to us and, you know, the word judges us. And we don't like to touch into some of these. So we don't want to spend much time renewing our mind to those things. If we looked how much Paul wrote about the flesh and about dealing with, you know, Paul wrote a whole bunch of places talking about the flesh and about what the works of the flesh are and the works of the spirit is understanding those things. Why did he write so much? Why did he write so much in letters about those things and mention those things if they were not important? And see, they're important to the renewing of the mind. If I would say today, if I would look, when I was a kid, there's so much more that Christians would do today that Christian years ago would have never thought about doing. They would have never considered. And it just comes down to one thing. There's one thing is, I remember hearing Kenneth Hagin talk about the fact that he asked Jesus in one of his visions why there is. Now this was back in the I think this is probably back in the 60s it was. He asked Jesus why there was so much sickness in the church. I mean, if you see it today, it's phenomenal. He asked why there was so much, and he said it wasn't years ago. He said years back, he said the church wasn't like that. Why? And the Lord said they lived a much more consecrated life. And we need to know that. This is why people, you pray they want divine healing, but it's not going to come. There's a lifestyle that lives with that. You can't do things that are not consecrated toward God and expect the devil not to be able to get after you. And there's things that we need to understand. This is why we want to learn how to yield to grace, because grace is God's power so you can walk and live a life of blessing. That's what it's for. See, we sort of like to have it both ways. I want to have it my way over here, but I want, you know, I got Santa Claus Jesus and he's supposed to come and give me all the presents while I live over here and do this. That's what he's supposed to do. That's the gospel that's taught today. You have all these wonderful blessings and they're just going to come and jump on you. You got them. No, that's not the way it works. And the scripture doesn't teach it, and people need to understand that. There's ways of lives of living. And this is one of the things that people don't understand. We want this grace of God, this ability. And the ability of God, there's ability of God to live a consecrated life. You don't do it on your own. You'll end up being a very religious person trying to do it out of the human nature. It's hard to do. But learning how to yield to the grace of God and having God's ability, that's why the word says in Hebrews, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Well, what was the grace about? Well, it had to do with that mercy thing that you got in trouble with, and God was showing mercy on you, but God don't want to be showing mercy to you all the time. He wants you to walk right. So he wants to give you grace so you don't have to always be relying on mercy all the time. Because I will tell you this, he might show mercy to you 27 times, but one day it'll stop.
That's right.
God is very gracious for a very long time, but one day it'll stop. And you'll wonder, what happened? Why did God allow this? No, what did I do that let the truck run over me? Mm-hmm. Did I keep playing on the street when Jesus kept saying, get off the street, get off the street? No, I didn't listen. I stayed out there till the truck hit me. Now, so God had a purpose. No, he didn't. You did. You had a purpose to keep doing something till the truck ran over you. But you'll find God's always trying. Grace will always try to get you blessed. That's what it's always going to do. Grace isn't going to turn around and try to knock you out. Grace is going to try to revive you. That's what grace is for. So we want to walk in that. Now in Romans, so he tells us, he opened this thing up, what we're supposed to do. And see, I believe it's tied to what says next, because it said, "For I say." Now he's going to say something. This is tied to what he just, why would he say, "For I say"? What's this about? "For I say, through the grace of God given to me, to everyone who is among you." This, so everyone among us, I just tie myself in there. I think he's talking to Ed. So he said, "Not to think, first of all, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Don't think of yourself. You know, when it comes to faith, it says God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. When we think about faith, and a lot of people do, they look at faith as this is something I have, like I developed it. If God didn't give me revelation, I couldn't even get faith. You can't even have it without God. God gives us the ability to believe. He gave us the word, and faith comes through the word of God. So God gets, so don't think, you know, you're arrived. See, intellectualism, don't get carried over into that. Like, well, I've arrived at this great place because I'm really good at this. Well, duck, you're about to fall into a bunch of trouble. Because you get over there, the devil will deceive you, and you'll find yourself in a mess. So we don't want to think more highly than we ought. We're supposed to think soberly. He says, God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. So maybe you seem to be doing very good. And let me say this as we get down and read these things from that. This is why we don't want to think more highly. When you learn how to yield a grace in areas of your life, you can get very good at it. You know, I have gotten really good yielding to the, by teaching grace, of over into getting revelation from God. I can learn how to do that. But you can't think of yourself as any kind of big deal. You got to watch, because it's grace that causes it. It isn't you're so good at it. And you don't want to lose it, because this is what people do. They get thinking that they're really good because they don't recognize it. You can get yielding to grace so well that you can hardly notice the difference between you and the grace, because you come so one with it that it just, it, if you don't watch it, you think it's you. This is where a lot of big head comes in the church world. People get good at something and they say, rather, man, I'll tell you, I'm doing great. I'm just, you know, I don't know what's wrong with the rest of you knuckleheads. I'm just, and you get over and thinking, but you always have to remember it's grace. It's grace at work. And if you didn't have the grace, because I see people that they have gifts, but they don't yield to them. And I think, I think about it myself. The only reason it works is I learned how to yield this thing. That's the only reason it works. It's yielding to grace, because grace makes this work. That's what it does. Grace makes it work. Learning how to yield grace. See, I've learned to speak concerning the grace. I've learned to use to begin to speak. You know, I talk, you know, I always talk like that. You know, God gave me a teaching gift. It'd be stupid for him not to give me revelation. That'd be the dumbest thing in the world. So I always talk in the fact God will always reveal things to me and show me things in teaching. He'll always anoint me. You know, he'll always do those things. In fact, he told me when the teaching gift got on me, he said, I don't care how you feel or whatever goes on, you never say you're not anointed. He said, you're anointed. So see, you talk in such, you learn to talk in such a manner. You talk in such a, people are always trying to, like they're trying to get something. No, I got something. I already have it. What I have to do is learn to yield to the God's grace in that gifting. That's what all I have to do is yield to that. I have an anointing, so I need to yield to anointing. Well, yielding to anointing is a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. You know, say we could go and take classes and become a great speaker. And there's a lot of people out there like that. And they don't have any anointing at all to preach, and people don't know the difference. People are moved more by their senses, by what moves them, than they are sometimes the anointing. They don't recognize the anointing working. Well, I'm not an orator. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin said one time about the English language. He talked about another minister who was able to speak 32 different languages, read and write 32 different languages. And Kenneth Hagin said, that's 32 more than I can. And it's like, I can murder the English language, but I'd rather have the anointing than be eloquent. I'll take it any time. Rather have the anointing. I'll take it any time. And so, but you want to go there because God anoints you. God has given each one of us a measure of faith. Now, one thing, what am I going to do with that measure of faith that I have? I can use my faith to do a lot of different things and set it in directions maybe God even didn't call it to. Try to use it for things. So, we have a measure of faith. He goes on verse 4 here. He said to them, he said, "For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." So he said, so we being many are one body in Christ, individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So there's differences in grace. These gifts that are given, there's a difference between each individual. See, you never try to be what somebody else is. You don't try to become. Now, that but I want to clarify this. If you have a similar anointing or a similar type anointing that somebody else has who is more developed, you can learn from their anointing because you're called into that area. You can learn from that. Well, see, that's where the Lord had me stay, like, close to Kenneth Hagin as I went along as learning. That's where I got my teaching gift from. That anointing came on me from him. And so there's things you can learn from that ministry and from that anointing that can help you develop your gift. In fact, you can receive things from another person who you're called in the same type of gift. There's things you can receive from them to enhance your anointing. If you learn about it. See, this is one thing, see, we lack in this. This is why the church world today, people don't go to, a lot of times people ain't going to church and that stuff. People don't know. Church, just going to church ain't about sitting and just listening and teaching. It's about anointing. See, I went to Bible school for anointing. I didn't go just to get some more teaching. There was an anointing to be had. There's things about the anointing in your life. And that's what you got to find out. See, people that don't go, they shouldn't expect to receive anointing. You ain't going to get this stuff watching TV preachers.
That's right. Amen.
I never got any anointing on my life except where I went to meetings, was in the meeting where it was. Why? Because there's a transfer anointing, and it's by the laying on of hands. So there's things people will never enter into or never be. It doesn't matter what you're called to. See, I knew I was called to minister the word, but just because I was called, I didn't end up there because of that. And we need to know how important that is the things concerning and yielding to anointing. See, that's one of the things that Raymond was, there were certain teachers especially that I sat under that really, their anointings, I knew God was speaking to me through their anointing, what they had, and I knew it. And you want to get around those people because of the effect that they can have on you, what the direction God's sending you. So you got to be learning keen in your spirit about what you're called to. If you don't know what you're called to, you don't know who you're supposed to be drawn to or what. You got to listen to those things. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, Wanda and I never went to a church just because we thought someplace was a good church. I always, where does God send us? Who God? What does God want me to send? What does God want me in? Mm-hmm. What does He want me to do?
That's right.
And He might send you someplace, but it ain't the cool one you wanted. But do you want the anointing? Do you want God's hand on your life? You know, we decide these things. We need to know. God, these are things we have to learn. And I learned to listen. Now, there's one thing, as I know, certain gifts require and have more responsibility. You know, who to much is given, much is required. And so, understand that. I always know this. I have a, you know, God expects me a lot more out of me because of the gift. But then on the other hand, let me say this. If you never yield to the anointing God that's given you or the grace God wants you to work to, you will still stand in judgment for it.
Right.
Whether you yield to it or followed it or not. He's going to judge you according to what you were called to. That's the way He's going to do it. So if a person never entered in or never did, they're still going to be judged accordingly. I figured it was just a good idea to get in it. But I really noticed this itself. Too much is given as much is required. You need to understand this is sitting under the word of God. You know, the more God teaches you and develops you, the more He expects out of you. Then there's this side of it. If you know, it's just like people who don't go to church and say, I'm a Christian, they'll be held accountable because they had it available to them, whether they did it or not. They're going to be judged accordingly. And so people need to know, I just found out it's just best to get in and do what you're supposed to do. Just to get in and, but you know, it's wonderful because I learned this, is once you learn to yield to the anointing, there ain't any, the only thing is like, I've heard people say about it, and I know from my years of drugging and drinking, you do those things, you're trying to have fun and having a good time, and you want to feel good. Well, I want to tell you, the anointing's like that. It's addicting. Once you've learned to yield the anointing, you like it. You just downright like it. And it's just like, I want to get back on that again. I want to go to that. And that's what it'll get to be. And we'll train ourselves in life to the things that we like to be around or we like to do. I like the anointing. I like the anointing. I've trained myself around that. People will train themselves to whatever they like to do or they ever like to be around. That's what they train themselves to, and that becomes their satisfaction. Well, I'll tell you what, that's why when people say to me, well, you know, you want to retire? I say, well, how do you turn this thing off? How do I turn off that I don't like the anointing? Oh, I don't like the anointing anymore. I'm going to go sit under a palm tree somewhere. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, we're just going to go sit under a palm tree. I'd be the unhappiest guy in the place. The palm tree would probably die. Wanda kicked me off the island. I think she'd get tired of it quick. She'd say, go preach somewhere. Go do something. I don't know how you turn it off. I mean, when it's in you to do it, how do you stop it? I don't know. I don't see any of the apostles and other writers in the Bible, any of them retired. Now, like out of the 12 apostles, all of them were put to death except one, John. He was the only one that didn't even meet a martyr's death. I mean, so there wasn't a retirement program that they had. The apostle Paul, he died. He didn't retire one day and say, you know, boy, I've done a lot and I've been around and woo, all the things I'm going through, man, I need to sit and rest. And he didn't do it. People didn't do that. We have today, we have this idea. I don't know. I've often wondered with ministers. I've listened to them talk and I thought, gee, maybe you never had an anointing. Maybe you never had one. Or you got so far away from it that you don't know what it is anymore. But hallelujah. Thank God, because I think it would be to anybody operating in any area that God's called them to. I think you find such a satisfaction when you have an anointing in an area to do something that it would just be a great thing. Now we're going to talk about here because he said, that all these members don't have the same function, but we're one body, individual members, having then gifts differing according to what? The grace that is given to us. Now he said, let us use them. We got to use the gifts. So you've got to use what God has given you. It isn't a matter of just having. He said, prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, do you remember, he says, according to your faith. Understand this about gifts in no matter what gift or office you stand in, whether like with myself with ministry, there are people and teaching that are anointed differently concerning teaching, have different levels of faith that they operate in and do it. There's like from a pastoral standpoint, you get people, all kind of things. See, we have this idea. One of the big things today is one of the biggest fallacies in the church world today. They make it sort of everybody, well, you come to this convention and we'll show you how to have a bigger ministry and do all these different things. You may not be called to that. You know, one guy, you know, the guy sits out here with grace and he has a 10,000 member church. He thinks everybody ought to have a 10,000 member church. This is one of the biggest falsehoods in it. They think they got there by their wisdom. Now, some men do. The Bible says, let the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Guys can build huge things, but they labor in vain. They build it. And there's a lot built by man today. It's like that Chinese minister said when they asked him, he's leading the United States, what do you think of the American church? He said, it's amazing what you can do without God. He thought it was incredible. It's amazing what you guys do without God. See, people can build big, but that's not everybody. See, that's why when you measure yourself against somebody else, you're going to fail. You're going to, well, you know, he had this gift and I ought to be this or I ought to be that. I learned to give that up a long time ago because you'll never be happy. You'll shut the anointing of God off to your life. You'll shut grace down in your life. You're trying to be like somebody. You're trying to copy a person rather than listening to the Holy Spirit, yielding to it. Do what God's called you to do. You know, I saw this when I came into the kingdom. You get a guy who's an evangelist. Now, this one thing is I learned. The evangelist has a combine soul winning anointing. But not all of them are identical. There's some guys, you know, you get sort of like guys like Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn would go to a place and he administers and just people come of the thousands. There isn't. There's people out here that are walking in the will of God. They'll have small meetings at places, small amounts of people get saved and stuff. But they have an anointing in that area and that's what they're called to. And see, somebody says, well, if they were really good, they'd be like Benny. No, they wouldn't. Gifts are different. Now, everybody got the same. You got to copy this thing. And this is what we did. The church has got away from spirituality and got like the world does. And the world, everybody can become president. Everybody can be this, or anybody can do that. That's the biggest junk. You find around, you know, people got abilities and some ain't got certain abilities in the area. And everybody's trying to have the ability of the guy that they like or want ever to do, and they ain't got it. You know? Did you ever meet somebody, you know, sitting there like, you know, you're out here in a mechanic, and this guy's a terrible mechanic, but he wants to be a mechanic in an awful way, and he's there doing it, say, quit, don't work on my car, whatever you do. And you know what? He can work as hard as he wants, never be a great mechanic. There's other people that are just great at doing things. They can really do well at them. And so we need to learn to walk in the light of that, as if you're not trying to copy somebody else or what they can do. That, you ain't going to get no pleasure out of life in that. You're always going to try, you're copying after a person, you're always going to try to want to become something, and you figure it out. Somebody's always going to do something you think's better than them. And they're going to do something better than you, and you're just, you know, you either get big-headed or bummed out, one or two. But, so there's gifts to every these gifts. So according to the measure of faith, now we found out that God gave us a measure of faith. God would not given me the grace to teach, and I would turn around and try to use my measure of faith to be an evangelist. People do that all the time. They're using their faith. They're using their faith to do what they ain't even called to. They're trying to use their faith. No, God gave you faith for a purpose, especially in ministry, the ministry side of it, the grace to serve God. Your faith is used in that area. Now, when we go over in saving faith, the grace of God, that's everybody's the same. God works the same. You could have the same blessing of God in your own personal life concerning the grace of God for you to live victoriously. But when you come over to ministry, that all ends right there. That is for your personal life. Ministry is about God giving you to bless others. What grace did He give you to help other people? What is it? It does. If God graced you to help one person at a time, that's God's perfect will for your life. And when you get to heaven, you'll be as blessed as Benny Hinn, whether he won a million. It doesn't. You're in the perfect will of God, doing what God called you to do. You need to get that in yourself. It isn't trying to copy. Well, you know, I need to find out how I can do it like this guy or that guy. And this is what we have going on. You know, just like when God called me and told me to start the church. And I didn't want to do it. I just, you know, I didn't want to pastor. As number one, I could never see myself as a pastor. Because the way things were always taught, you know, you become, when I was at Rhema, you know, and I saw, but they gave us, you know, like I wasn't in pastor, I was in, classes and actually with missions. That's what he told me in my second year to go into the missions area. And so I went, listen to what the Lord said and went in. But they gave us all these books and stuff on pastoring and everything and things to read. And I was sitting around and when God told me to start a church, I sat down and got this book out on pastoring and I started reading and I was reading a book and I thought, man, I can't find Ed in this book anywhere. He ain't nowhere near this book. This guy's telling, this is what a pastor is. This is what a pastor is. Oh, pastor's this. Pastor's, oh, yeah, you got to have, this is what you got to be. And I read down through the book and I just said, well, this can't be God moving me toward this thing of being a pastor. This can't be God. And so I got over and I would spend time in praying. And every time I'd pray, I would get this, start the church. Well, I thought, boy, the devil's sure talking to me a lot. But I was going on and one day, and I knew it was the Spirit of God. You know, you go along and you get witnesses in here and you get a still small voice say to this. Well, this became the voice of the Lord. He spoke to me and I was praying. He said, get up. I don't want you to talk to me about this again. He said, you go start that church or else. I said, well, okay, I guess that one's over. But I said to him, I said, well, I read this book. And I said, this one they gave us at Raymond. And he said, you know, this guy. And the Lord said this to me. He said, this guy, I used him. And he said, he wrote a book. Now, everybody's supposed to be like him. And the Lord said to me, throw that book away. He told me to do. Throw that book away. I never told Raymond they told me to throw that book away. But anyhow, they were still handing it out. Anyhow. But see, they go along and see everybody's supposed to be like he is. I said, Lord, I said, I don't fit. I said, and I started talking to the Lord. I said, this is my personality. This is what I am. And he said, I know it. That's why I called you. When I realized that, I'll tell you what, we're living in a different age. You can't have these little wimpy, weak wrist pastors anymore.
Amen.
Because they'll just lead you right off to hell.
Amen.
We're living in a day and age people don't want to do right and follow right, even in the church world. Somebody's got to stand up.
Amen.
Somebody got to go up and say, hey, knock it off. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, a pastor is a daddy to the people. Mm-hmm. And he said, they need to start acting like daddies instead of one of the crowd. See, we're in a bad time and a bad place. And we're, you know, generally in our where we are in our nation, and it's got over to the church. It's everybody does what they want. We're what happened to Israel in the book of Judges. Said everybody did what was right in their eyes. That's what they were doing. That is America, an American church today. Everybody does what's right in their eyes. And we need to get over, that has to be changed. You know, we hate to, whether we like it or not, we think somehow it's laying some things aside that's going to hurt us. You know, we want to write life where everything, with roses, we want to be tiptoe through the tulips all the time. I'm sorry, it ain't life. Ain't nobody out here living that one. It's a fake life. It's a life that's a lie. You know, I think about my parents. The things that over time that my parents sacrificed in life because of what was right. Mm. Today I don't see those sacrifices. I don't see them going on. People, no, they don't realize down the line. I'm going to tell you, everything costs down the line. Everything costs down the line. And we need to know with our children and everything. What I do is going to affect down the line. Mm-hmm. Payday's coming for it all. And people need to get this in themselves. We've lost this thing. We're praying for a good end. You can pray for a good end, but what you ain't doing good, you're going to reap what you sow down there. Mm-hmm. What you're sowing here is going to end up down there. We have, look how our nation didn't turn out this way overnight. It didn't happen. This turned out from all the things sown for decades. Decades of turning away. Back in, I mean, we have, I think, back of all the E.W. Kenyon. In E.W. Kenyon's book, he wrote his books back, couple of his books back in the 40s, early 40s, he wrote these books, and he talked about the church and its direction it was heading and how the church was getting liberal. Well, most people thought church wasn't liberal at all back then, but he saw it back then. He wrote it in his books, the direction the church was heading. And so we're today, I mean, E.W. Kenyon would probably, he died in 1948, I'm glad he didn't see the church world today. Man, it would have been something else to them if he'd have seen what the church is like today. He'd have had a real hard time. And this is not just being critical, but we have these, you know, just think about, what if we could get the believers, all believers could walk in the gift of God that God gave them. What it would do to this world. Because this is what designed for. We're praying. Now look at that. It doesn't do any good to pray for something great and wonderful to happen if I'm not going to walk in anything great or wonderful. It requires the church to walk in our giftings. And finding out what does God want us to do? What is God finding out? We're gifting. We're using our faith in the areas of ministry. What is God, what you call me to do? What am I supposed to be doing? Like he said, a ministry. Now the word ministry, people look at it as just like somebody being in a ministry, but that word also means to serve and serving. A minister, that's what ministry is. You know, you're going to serve. It's for gifts for somebody else. He said, let us use it in our ministry or in our serving and teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So in other words, he's saying about these things, look, however God's working in you to do something, use your faith in that area. Find out what God is hooking you up with. You know, I've learned over time, with this has been helpful to me. is in the ministry. I notice that there's certain areas that God moves me into to teach. There's certain specific areas of anointing in there. And you find out, you learn over time, you should be able to tell with yourself somewhat, do I have areas in my life, now I'm talking about gifting, that I just do better in this area where I have. See, these giftings are specific, not just general. See, and I even see it in the ministry today. People try to be the jack of all trades and the master of none. I'm not called to that. See, people want you to do everything under the sun. I get offers of places to go minister, to do things, and I'd say to them, well, I teach. That's what God's calling me. I'm not a counselor. You don't want me to sit down and counsel with you. I'll knock you out. I won't put up with your dumb stuff. Now, which we need to understand. Why everybody thinks ministers, they talk about getting over into counseling. Well, the Lord told me, he said, if people won't come and listen to you teach, he said, don't you counsel. He said, your best counseling is when the anointing is on you to teach. He said, if they won't come to hear that, don't you counsel them. That's why I won't counsel. Don't come to listen. Don't ask me to counsel. I won't. There's no point in it. People want a private service. You know, I go live like hell, ruin my life, and then you come and try to fix it for me. Going through that. We ain't going there. You know what to do. I always just tell people, you want counseling? I'll see you Sunday morning, such and such time. And say, that's when we start. That's the counseling session starts in. And they always don't want to do that. Well, I don't know if God wants me to do it. Well, I know this. God don't want me to counsel you. I know that for a fact. Because it isn't about him. They want you to come and fix the mess in their life. Give them a blessing while they live like hell. While they don't follow God, then you're supposed to give. And somehow God is in that, they think? I mean, that is lunacy. It's absolute lunacy. It's when we think about, see, everybody wants to be everything. I'm not a counselor. There's some people that are very good at that kind of thing. I'm not. I was never called to it. See, everybody thinks a pastor ought to be a counselor. Where do they get that from? See, most pastors become the jack of all trades and the master of none. They really never hook up to any specific thing in the anointing with them. You got to do that. You got to. There's other people called to get to that. If I have to be everything, what on earth? There's no point in the church or the body. There's no point to it. What is it? Why should you be gifted if I'm supposed to have more? Right. Yeah. Wouldn't be any point. And see, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to make it work through certain individuals. There's some people, they can't talk to anybody but the minister. They have, somebody else's church, you can't. No, I need to talk to the minister. Yeah, that's what they have to do. Well, people are like that. I don't have time for them because they just spend their whole life just chasing around after a person. It isn't about God to begin with. They don't recognize the rest of the body of Christ and the giftings in the body, you know. You got to learn to do that. You got to learn to recognize whoever else got something. You know, I'll tell you what. If I wanted to have my furnace worked on, I don't go to my mechanic. He's a very nice guy, but he don't work on furnaces. You go to the person who has expertise. We don't know in the body of Christ who has expertise because most people ain't got expertise. They're not doing it. Because we just sort of have this thing, well, I'm just, you know, a good Christian, and if God wants to use me, he will. And that's not what the scripture teaches. The teaching speaks about specific grace and specific faith. And see, this is an area that we need to look at, because this means this. We lack in the body, whole body lacks in the manifestations of the grace of God. The whole body lacks in it, because if we're not doing that and faith is not being used toward it, well, then the whole body lacks. So it does cause this one thing, as I found out, I want to do my part, because if I do my part, it's an aid to the body of Christ. It isn't about being just an aid to me. It's an aid to the body of Christ if you fulfill your part. And see it in that manner. See what the purpose of your faith is. You don't need that purpose of faith is. What grace has God worked in me? Do I spend time to find out what God wants me to do and wants me to walk in? Have I have what I'm doing? What I can see that God wants me to do is one of the things. If God has spoken to you to do something, or you have had an unction in you, and you just keep staying away from it all the time, it's going to cause problems for you. Because if you know what to, the Bible says, if you knew, you know what to do. if you're missing it and you're sinning, it's going to catch up with you. You can't get away from it. You can't know what to do if you know what to do and you don't do it. It's a sin. Scripture says so. If you know what to do and you don't do it, it's a sin. I mean, that's just... So what happens is, you know, you sense God's moving in a direction. You might want to talk to Him about that direction and pray about that thing that you feel that He's speaking to you in your life. You know, most people get over their place in the body of Christ is usually something that has to do with their own personal life of what they want to do. That's not it. You know, you have to find out how and what your grace to that God wants you to do, and then learn to use that grace. Start yielding to it. Do things that amplify that grace in you. You know, I was always a person, I never looked for, you know, specifically for a ministry concerning teaching. I mean, whether to teach 1,000 or teach one, it made no difference to me. See, most people need a crowd. They need recognition. If that's what you need is recognition, just stay out. Just don't even bother. I mean, we need recognition. We need people. You know, I've had people already because you already even in our church is ministering because they didn't want to minister. They want to minister in a larger group. They didn't want to minister. You know. So to them, I just bypass them and don't bother with them. I have no need of it because they didn't have an interest in people. It was about them. So what they're going to do is they're going to minister for their own sake. That's what they're going to do. We got to have a crowd. We need more people. Well, good. Goodbye. Don't bother me. So you can't do that. Didn't matter if it's one or it's 1,000, whatever it is. If God's called you to it, you do it. That's what you do. And get yourself over into that area where it's fulfilling the will of God. Hey, if God wants me to do a little or He wants me to do a lot, it matters not. So, you can, you know, I found it very interesting because like when I was over, like say, ministering in Fiji in churches and that stuff, where I was told over there, I was having greater effect in their churches than a lot of the big ministers would come there. I never thought about it any that way, you know, never thought about it at all. They came and said, yeah, well, here, man, you do this, and yeah, God uses you. And well, but see, it isn't, I think that's where it comes. You be faithful in any group or any crowd or whatever God has you to do. You just be faithful there. That, you know, do what you can do and bless the people. And, you know, and as I said before, when we're dealing in the areas of ministering in the gifts that God has given to us, I said, is following in those areas is important. Like I had one time a minister friend of mine he had been over in Africa with some people. Anyhow, they got in contact with him and they got in contact with me. They wanted us to go over and do ministry. But their idea was you come over and do ministry. Now basically God uses me in the area. Unless He tells me different, I just stay with it. I can minister to like say a group or a church or something like that. But lots of times when I go somewhere, God uses me as wants me to teach and minister to ministers. Because when you're imparting things to people and you're imparting them to ministers, they can impart it to more people than you do than just individuals within the congregation who don't go out and teach other people. So, and God always has used me in that area and that stuff. And I've always gone, whenever I ever went someplace, I'd always end up teaching in a Bible school somewhere or doing something like that. God would use me in that area and it's learning to that. Well, over in Africa, they wanted me to come over and minister. And they wanted me to do evangelistic ministry, teach the pastors, teach the children, teach the youth, minister at this, minister at that. And I just don't say, hey, hold. Say, you know, your idea of ministry is just a shotgun. We just get out the shotgun and we just fire it. We're going to do it all. I said, you know, there's gifts in the body of Christ. And I said, you're wasting my gift by trying to do all these other things. You're wasting my anointing because you'll wear me out doing all these different things, and where my anointing can be effective, it won't. But they have this idea, we're going to have to get all of this stuff, and this is going to... There's people fall for that, but you don't. You don't have any effect in an area. You know, find the area that you're good at, that you ain't using a shotgun, you're using a rifle, you're hitting the target. It's best to get, do something really good that God's anointed you to, because it'll have a greater effect in the long run. We are usually only interested in short term. That's it. Short term, it looked good, but 6 months later, it amounted to nothing. It's like, no, the best is find out what God uses you and how he uses you. And as I just tell people, you know, I've been asked by people, do this, do that. And I say, I'm sorry, I don't do that. That's not me. That's not what I'm called to. If God would tell me to do it, I would do it. So that's fine. But if he don't tell me to do it, we don't go there, because God has clarified things of ministry with me. And you have to know that concern yourself. Now, you won't see that within people as much as in a full-time ministry. Just like with teaching. People could be called by God to, say, teach children's church, teach it, but they don't stand in the anointing of the person in a full-time ministry. They don't stand in that same anointing, and they won't. They won't. There's a difference in anointing. You won't be the same. Just because they're teaching, they ain't going to be in the same place. You will never find anybody who's not in full-time ministry, living in the ministry, who is going to have as much anointing as the person who does. You'll never find it. It doesn't. It doesn't work that way. I see, people need to understand these things, because we just generally throw everything. Well, a teacher's a teacher. That guy's called as a teacher. God, he's a... No, there's prophets. There are loads and loads of prophets, and there's a lot of prophets. There's people in the... really call themselves evangelists, and they're not evangelists. They're prophets. We think of a prophet sitting around prophesying. That ain't the prophet's ministry. Those people there wouldn't even be good in the children's ministry who think like that. You don't even want them around anybody. It isn't about prophesying. The prophet's anointing... You want the prophet's anointing is very useful in the teaching and preaching ministry, because of how God uses that gift. It's just like with the apostolic gift. The apostolic gift. We see people many times don't recognize. The apostle Paul started out as he was in the prophet's ministry. He was in the prophet's ministry. Because we know it says in Antioch there were teachers and prophets and teachers, and they were ministering the Lord and fasted. And so we know that he had to be at least a prophet or a teacher, but he was a prophet. So he started off in the prophet's ministry, and he was elevated to the apostolic ministry. Now, so there was a different anointing for that, is to stand in that office. So, but we need to understand these kind of things. There are people out here, and they're not... Do you ever think John the Baptist never... We don't have any signs of any miracles or anything he did, or he ever... Other than he said that Jesus was the Christ, he was the Son of the living God. He saw that, he knew that. But we don't have... Do we have any great prophecies that he made? Does the Bible show us anything? Yet Jesus said he was the greatest prophet that there was. So what Jesus said. Gee, I wonder if Jesus was right, or the guys today. I mean... See, they prophets are running around prophesying all the time. We don't realize the great effect. Kenneth Hagin's ministry as the prophet, from the prophet's ministry, and teaching from the prophet's ministry was the greatest thing about his teaching ministry. It wasn't prophesying. It was the anointing on his teaching ministry. See, as we need to get our thinking straightened out, these are, and there's different levels. You know, there's probably, Kenneth Hagin was a prophet to the nations. Not every prophet's a prophet to the nations. There are prophets that are prophet to an area. They might be a prophet who's in a church. That's where he's at. That's where his gift lies. It don't go anyplace else. You see, people need to recognize these things about when you try to be something else. Today we have, there's loads of these guys stamped just because they've been a prophet back in their hometown. They try to start prophesying to the nation. They ain't called to it. Keep your blab mouth shut. Know what you're called to. Know where the place you stand. Unless the anointing's there. I don't care what God showed me, and God has showed me a lot of things over the years. I've had visions and different things. You don't run around and do that stuff just because God showed you, and go around to everybody else and his brother. And I said, if you don't go do that, God tells me to, I will. But we go around, when people go around today, that's all this. I'm just going to be everything to everybody. Whatever you need. You know, step back, Jesus. I'm just taking over. I'm going to do it all. No, it's not the way it works. It works the body. Finding your part, knowing what you're called to do, the places that you're called. You know, I know God told me, you know, I was going to go to other nations and things, and I've done that kind of thing, going to other nations and stuff. My anointing is completely different when I go out on ministry. I don't minister as a pastor. I don't any of that from that standpoint. Mostly, the Lord deals when I go to places and that stuff, I will do teaching. If I'm a Bible school, I do more teaching from line upon line teaching when you're doing a Bible school because you're teaching students. And but in churches and ministry, I yield more over to the prophetic ministry than I do and anything in ministering in the church. Now, that doesn't mean you're prophesying. In fact, there's loads of churches I never prophesied a thing in. But God uses me. He'll have a message. I'll just things off the spur of the moment. He'll just have me do things. And so it operates that way. And so you have to learn how God uses you when you're in other people that you're called to be at. It's not the places that you choose. See, I'm not everything to everybody. I'm not. It's number one, just like here, we have a church. I'm not a pastor to anybody else. It's funny, you go to other countries. I found this out as being, because I was a pastor in a church, they all think I should be a pastor to everybody. And I just tell them, I ain't your pastor. And I'm a pastor to a congregation. My sheep are back in Pennsylvania. I didn't come over here. I'm not leading somebody's flock over here. You have a pastor. They want to come and talk to you. And then, no, you go talk to your pastor. Well, I really want to talk. I'm not your pastor. You go talk to your pastor. I'm a pastor back in Pennsylvania. You ain't part of my sheep. And I ain't a sheep stealer. You know, I don't go down here. You don't go, you don't go milk another man's cow. You don't do them things. But this is the body of Christ they do. Body of Christ don't care who they get a hold of, as long as they get what they want. You know, and it's like, you got to know it. Say, no, I don't do that. You have a pastor. You go talk to your pastor. If your pastor wants my advice, he can ask me. He's your pastor. He's in charge. I tell these people, I have people call our church, you know, and that stuff all the time. People, I like to talk to you. I say, well, what about? Well, I talk to such and such. Well, I say, you need to talk to your pastor. Well, he doesn't believe like you do along those lines. And I say, the first thing I say, what are you doing at church? What are you doing there? You're sitting there. So I said, should I call your pastor and tell him what you just said to me? Should I tell him that? Well, no. Well, why not? You call me to talk about him. He ain't as spiritual as you are. I said, you wouldn't have called me if you were spiritual. And say that things to me. Because I know you're not spiritual. You would never done such a thing. See, I want to talk to you because, you know, I'm going to sit down and put my money in this thing down here that ain't working for me. And I want to get blessed out of it. So I could get blessed through you. So I'm going to put my money over here and I'm going to follow after this guy, but I'm going to come over here and you're going to be Santa Claus today. You're going to bring reindeer to my house today and you're going to land and get the big bag, you know? It's good preaching, folks. See, people don't, they jump authority from thing to thing to thing. They think, see, we have no idea of these things and that. How this stuff works, and the hindrances it causes in the body of Christ. And we don't have pastors mature enough to know the difference. They don't see, they aren't telling their people, and their people are going around here and that stuff, jumping to here and there. They're over there going to churches and that stuff, listening to other guys. They think it's their job to come to church to change this church. They go, I'm going to come change, yeah, I'm going to come and do this. Well, if you are, he's going to make you pastor. You see this kind of stuff, you know. Do you ever notice when a corporation wants to change the direction in a church, in one of their companies, they don't go hire new employees. Mm-hmm. They get a new CEO. See, the world is much smarter than Christians. They know if you want to turn an organization, you do it from the top. You don't do it from the bottom. Only the Democratic Party believes in that. It don't happen in the church. You're going to get God to move And then God needs to move an individual, the guy in the head, if he wants to do something. That's what the job is. Because I've had people over the years that stuff of the, you know, they don't like any pastors that are out there. They don't like anybody that's a pastor. And I say, well, you know, they know what everybody's pastor ought to be doing. And I say, isn't it interesting? You know what the pastor ought to do, and he don't. And God called him to be the pastor. Isn't that stupid? God told you everything that needs to be done, but not him. Isn't that interesting? I've told one guy one time, I said, you proved to me this. God's an idiot, isn't he? I said, really stupid. He called that guy the pastor, but he showed you everything. He's really stupid, isn't he? And then I said to him, if you know all this, God had to call you to the pastorate. You need to start a church right now. He said, well, I don't want to start a church. Oh, I said, why not? He said, because I'm not a pastor. I said, that's right. Shut up. You're not a pastor. Wouldn't it be dumb to show somebody everything? I mean, we just go too far. We do. We can't keep bounds of authority, and we don't realize this. It hinders our faith, and it stops the grace of God from working in the church. We were in a church, Wanda and I, for a good period of time that had a load of problems. But you know what? The pastor did a lot of crazy things, but you know what? I always honored him as pastor. I always never tried to usurp his authority. Never did any of that, none of that kind of stuff. I never did. But you know, we were there. A lot of people struggled because they were always opposing this and opposing that. Wanda and I never did. God blessed us the whole time we were there. We were blessed. And when we turned around and went to Bible school, that church blessed us like crazy. But you know what? We weren't fighting them all the time. We weren't trying to take over. I knew things. You'd see things. I know they weren't going to go right. But it wasn't my job changing. It wasn't mine. And people hinder their blessing to their life. They hinder it. You know, I learned. Don't spite your own self. Don't do something that's going to hurt you. And while Wanda and I were there, God blessed us the whole time. I mean, God was really good to us. And when we left and went to Bible school and that stuff, I mean, they were a real blessing to us and stuff and things. And that's one thing is you honor, you know. And really, one of the things of showing honor there is one of the Lord things said to me about I was faithful to other people's ministries. See, I was faithful to his ministry. Sometimes he wasn't faithful to his ministry. But I was. I was faithful to his ministry. And you know what? You ain't going to ever learn much working with somebody who does everything right. Because you'll never know what to do when something don't go wrong. When it goes wrong, you want to do... The Lord told me one time, he said, I taught you a lot about what to do, not to do. You don't learn everything by everything going right and working. You won't. That's why when people go to school and go to college, most of them don't really do well in what they come out because they have sat under this thing of everybody's taught. But when you get out in the real world, there's problems. And they get out there and you have all this structure, but hold on, everything don't work like they said. And you're out in the middle of all this going wrong, and you ain't had that. You don't have that experience of what to do and things going wrong, and watching people what they do right, and watching what they make mistakes at, and learning. Say, hey, you know what? It was like Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin taught us that. Kenneth Hagin would tell us the things that he made mistakes in ministry and things that he did. He said, if you learn from me, he said, you won't have to make these mistakes. You won't have to do it. It isn't about going to some place where everybody could tell you to do right, because everybody don't know how to do right. You get these professors in college have to go out there and work in the world, and there's a bunch of them would never make it 10 minutes. Because they don't know what it is out there when you're in the middle of the mess, and everybody didn't pay to get to go to your class. And you're sitting under people who are in leadership over you that almost seem insane. Yet you got to keep making your part work, and you got to keep doing it. And that's the life. And I was glad you learned things. You learned things to do and not to do. And I thank God for it. Mm-hmm. I had one supervisor I worked with was my supervisor over me. And I had two different ones at one time. One I had worked in one shift, and one I worked on another. I worked under them. I was a I was a group leader in the department, and then he was the head supervisor. And both of those guys, the one guy, I learned a lot of not what to do, and the other guy, I learned a lot what to do. So, but they were both beneficial to me. Now, the guy that was always messing up, he was harder to work for, let me tell you. And he shot himself in the foot very often. But I learned, you learn from that. Say, you're going to run this thing. Whew, I ain't going to do that. We're not going to be doing that one. I saw what he did. No, we're not going to do it that way. And so you learn from both sides. And so understand that. God is not going to always educate you in the evil. Easy. This church that he's wanting out, we're sent to, God specifically moves supernatural to tell me to go to that church. And people need to know that. God's not going to always send you right in the middle of things just to learn things that everything's going to be easy. Sometime even a job. God might send you to a place, a job to work. But there's things you need to learn in your life while you're there. There's things you need to learn. God taught me a lot in working at Reese's. God taught me a lot about submission to authority. He taught me a ton about what to do in that area, submitting to authorities that were over me, because that wasn't my nature till I got born again. God wanted me to live to that new nature, and it wasn't is dealing with authority. So you're going to have to, you learn how to deal with that, and God used those situations. But he sent us to a church, and I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of things went wrong. There were a lot of things in that church. God sent me there and told me to go there. So there's one thing, there's some things you're going to learn under fire. I don't care how much the army trains a man. You don't ever prove yourself to a soldier, to your war. I don't care how well a man's trained. You're going to find out if he's a soldier when the shots are fired over his head. When he gets in a real battle and they're shooting at him, you'll find out who the soldier is. You don't find out who the soldier is in training. Oh, there's guys who are great in training. Guys who do wonderful in training. But when the bullets fly, they ain't the best in the block. And you need to know that about Christianity. When everything's good, that ain't the place. You find out when you get squeezed how good you is. And sometimes I have not been so excited about me when I got squeezed. Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you tonight. Hallelujah. As we talk about these things, these gifts, Lord God, we surely do want to yield to these graces that you have for us. And Lord God, these are about your ability that works. Hallelujah. To do what man can't do. Your ability, Lord God, to help. Because, Lord God, we need the supernatural. Lord, we can't look at people and know exactly what they need, want, or desire just because we hear what they say or things. You're the God who knows the heart of all. And I just want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, we need every supernatural gift within the body of Christ. We need each individual and each member, Lord God. Hallelujah. And your grace working through them, hallelujah. Father, their desire, Lord God, I believe people have a desire to do it. But Lord God, people are always just like, I think, Lord, many of them think it's just going to fall on us, but it doesn't. Hallelujah. And Lord, I want to thank you for opening eyes, giving understanding. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we definitely want you to use each member in the body so Jesus Christ can be glorified. Lord God, there's a fulfillment that each one needs to have. There's ones, Lord God, that people need the confidence that they know they're walking in the will and plans and your purposes, that they're benefiting the kingdom. Lord God, there's nothing greater in satisfaction for an individual to know that they've, Lord God, that they're following and walking after their master, Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Father God. Lord, I pray, Lord God, use them, Lord God. Reveal yourself to them. Show yourself, Lord God, your glory, the place that you had them to walk. And I thank you that, Lord God, there is an anointing there for them. That anointing is just waiting for them to step into and yield to that. And Father God, your glory will be revealed in them and through them in Jesus' name, and many will be blessed. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.